Welcome, everyone, to another fantastic episode of Fish Fry. I'm your host, Amelia Dalton, from eejournal.com, and let's get this electronic engineering party underway. So, what was hot this week, other than the weather? Well, it seems that the EE litigation train is yet again picking up steam. We've got Apple versus Samsung, still going strong. A final ruling on Sidense versus Killapass, and Mentor Graphics is suing Eve yet again. Now, I'm not going to bore you with the details of this Apple-Samsung case, because, well, it's really not all that exciting. And the mainstream media has talked about it quite enough. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that it actually won't mean much once the dust is settled. The patent system in this country is still going to be screwed up. Apple and Samsung are still going to be gigantic players in the smartphone market. And even more people over time will be buying both of their phones. Oh, and in a related story, it was just released a couple days ago that Samsung is going to be investing $4 billion to upgrade its Austin, Texas fab, where it makes, guess what? Apple Inc. A5 processors. According to the press release, with this new fab, in Austin, Samsung is going to be doing 300mm wafer 28nm process node mobile SoCs. Now come on, guys. This fab thing seems to be working out just fine. Can we just agree to disagree on the whole patent thing? Yeah, probably not. And now Sidense versus Killapass. That's been a story that I've been following for quite some time. Almost a year, to be exact. In the Fish Fry episode from September 9th, 2011, oh, by the way, this is also the episode where I interviewed Evo Bolson's Xilinx CTO. Oh, but that's beside the point. So, this case put the volatile back in non-volatile memory. First, Killapass sued Sidense in a 10-count patent infringement case. Next, Sidense sued Killapass and Killapass CEO Charlie Chang for a whole slew of things, including defamation, intentional interference with contractual relations, unfair competition under California Business and Professionals Code, and hogging the swing set on the playground. Wait, I made that last one up? Okay. And then there was a Markham hearing, which is basically a conference in patent litigation where the judge determines the definition of the technical terms of patent claims to be used by a jury, so they can decide if the infringement has indeed occurred. And after this phase of the case, depending on which press release you read, they were both winners. And it was announced late last week that, ta-da, there has been a verdict. All patent claims against Sidense were dismissed. I will go ahead and spare you from the legalese boredom that comes from reading these kinds of press releases, let me tell you, and give you the highlights. First, Sidense does not have a row wordline segment coupled to the second doped semiconductor region, and contrary claims by Killapass were subsequently invalid. Second, the court determined that Sidense's technology does not have the required first doped semiconductor region, thus rejecting Killapass's claims that a shallow trench isolation in Sidense's design was equivalent to said doped semiconductor region. And finally, the court said that Sidense's design did not have a first and second doped semiconductor region in a spaced apart relationship as the patent claims portrayed. All right, enough of this doped semiconductor regions business. The best part of this press release was a quote by Xerxes Wania, CEO and president of Sidense. "We've spent a considerable amount of time and money to prove that we are right in this litigation. We refuse to be held hostage by this frivolous lawsuit, and now we've been vindicated." This guy does not mince words. And now I wonder how the other litigation will pan out. Is Xerxes gonna take the stand? Can I watch this on court TV? Can anyone get me an interview with him? Now let's bring in some real counsel here and decide all of this once and for all. Okay, not really. But I do have an interview with IEEE counsel for EDA President Donatello Sciutto. Donatella and I chat about what the IEEE Council for EDA is all about, where it's going, and even a little bit about why she calls herself Sting's sister. Check it out. My guest today is Donatello Sciutto, president of the IEEE Council for EDA. Thank you so much for joining me today, Donatella.
Thank you for having me.
So first up, Donatella, tell me what your mission is at the IEEE Council for EDA.
Well, the council was born by collecting all the activities that were on EDA around the different societies of IEEE, but they were spread out in different areas, in circuit and system, computer society, and others. And the original idea was to put everybody together so that we could work and give a better service as a specific council for the EDA industry and the academia at large, or at least all the researchers in the area of EDA. Again, EDA is seen something as a broad area, not only on the synthesis tool or simulation tools, but more from the system level down to the layout and timing and everything. So our idea is to try to organize the researchers and give them some more information, specific information on the activities we do, and to support the conferences, the journals, and the chapters that were born in the meantime, specifically on this area, so that everybody had some place that recognizes its own work. It's very difficult, especially in Europe, where the EDA is quite smaller than in the US, to be actually recognized in terms of a specific area of research, which has its importance anyway.
So what do you think is the biggest contribution the IEEE Council for EDA has in the industry?
Well, the biggest contribution are supporting the conferences and try to have both the industry and the researcher meet and network and talk to each other so that there is a sort of technology transfer in some way of what has been done in research to the industry, which is obviously not so fast in taking up everything, but that's understandable. The awards that recognize the activities that have been done in EDA specifically, again, in order to show that there is a specific area in which you can give a contribution to the industry, which is an industry which does an enabling technology for many other industries that would not be able to do what they do without EDA, and then also to support the research activities in terms of organizing the chapters and also supporting the contest. And there are some awards also for early career. There is one award for the early career in faculty members working on EDA specifically. And I think, well, the Kaufman Award obviously is one of the most prestigious awards that we give out as a community with EDAC on the best contribution in the industry of EDA, which is very specific. We have most of the recipient of the Kaufman Awards also had other awards in other areas of IEEE, obviously, but this is very important to them also to have this award because it recognizes the industry itself.
Okay, and lastly, what do you feel is the biggest obstacle for this next coming years for you guys?
Well, the EDA industry is, I don't think it's so good, such a good shape.
Yeah.
The research is in a much better shape, I think. I mean, there are a lot of people working in the area connected to EDA, system level specifically, but also on all the other problems that are still open, fundamental problems open in EDA at the lower levels of abstraction. So I think probably the fact that the EDA industry has to change in some way to start growing again, even though there is such a consolidation in the market, which is difficult to manage also for the people because there are less jobs, obviously, also for the newcomers. So I think that those are the biggest obstacles, but we can't do much about those obstacles. We have to try to support what is there and support the people and the education in that area to grow, and then we'll see.
So little birdie told me that your mother actually works with Sting's rainforest organization. Yeah, tell me a little bit more about that.
Well, my mother started knowing Sting when she was the she's been the worldwide president of Amnesty International for many years. And she organized a concert for the 40th years of the Human Rights Declaration. And for 1 year, she went around the world with all the Sting, Springsteen, and a number of other singers. They made concerts everywhere in the world. And then when she finished her job, her mission, her two mandates in Amnesty, Sting did start this Rainforest Foundation, which is for protecting the Amazon forest. And he asked her to manage the foundation because they didn't have a specific president on that. So she's been working with him for the last 20 years, 25 years. And they do sponsor, fund a lot of projects in South America for the population of the Amazonian forest and basically to avoid the destroying of the forest. They organize every 2 years this fundraising concert at Carnegie Hall with a lot of singers, so where they raise a number of some funds for the, for the projects. Yeah. And so she's been doing this a long time for... Sting considers my mother his mother, but that's okay. So I'm sort of a sister.
Well, I guess I can just call you Sting's sister from now on, Donatella. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. It was a real pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you for having me and for the interview.
As always, if you want any more information about any of the stories that you've heard in this show, check out the archives section of eejournal.com, and there you'll find Fish Fry. And while you're there on eejournal.com, why don't you check out that Fresh Bites column? Good stuff in there, I'm telling you. Well, folks, that's all there is for Fish Fry this week. More nerdy giveaways, snarky electronic engineering news, and fantastic interviews coming your way in the weeks ahead. And don't worry, those nerdy giveaways will be back next week. For the week of August 24th, 2012, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.